This recording is with permission from Scholastic Limited. Chapter 24. Where are you, small brother? I found the source of the strange glow. In the middle of the hollow, there were lights, hovering in the air. Glow bugs? They were too round and too big to be tiny insects. I realised they weren't hovering. The orbs were stuck, caught on string that spanned from one side of the hollow to the other, glistening silky string in an intricate pattern, a huge web. I counted 10 glowing orbs caught in its strands. My finger trembled as I gently reached out and touched one. It was warm and pulsed, as if it were alive. It can't be, I exhaled. The web shivered against my breath. 10 glow bugs? The 10 missing children? I have to save them too. I plucked the glow bugs gently from the web, tucking them into my empty pocket, where Mama's stone and Caleb's charcoal had been. The light glowed enough for me to see. I sat back down on the leaves. Where are you, small brother? I held my breath while I listened. Something was breathing, something alive and near. There was someone in the hollow with me. What if it's Badako? My heart thudded against my throat. I reached out around me, pushing away the leaves. My fingers brushed over curly hair, then warm skin. With trembling fingers, I gently laid my hand down, and I felt the rise and fall of sleeping breath. Caleb, I sobbed. I wrapped my arms around him and pulled him close. I pressed my cheek against his and breathed in. He still smelled of the mud from the lake. He smelled of kindling dust and heart ash. He smelled of lavender from Granny Uma's homemade soap. He smelled of home. My small brother. Caleb, I whispered. It's me, Emea. I held his hand, wrapping my fingers around his, but he didn't wake up. My breathing was jagged, too loud for the small space. We need to get to Granny Uma, I said. She'll know what to do. I shuffled down the narrow tunnel, carrying him towards the opening. The glow from my pocket cast warm light. We're almost there. I could see the entrance to the outside grow larger with each step forward, but our escape was blocked. I wrapped my arms protectively around Caleb, his skin clammy and cold. As tall as me, the creature was almost camouflaged against the inside of the tree, its skin bark-coloured and swirling with patterns like the rings of a stump. Its body was long like a centipede, its many legs twitched. With eyes bright white, it stared at me from the mouth of the hollow. Badako, the Dream Eater. I'm taking my brother home, I said, as loud as I could, which wasn't more than a whisper. He belongs with his family. The creature didn't blink or speak, but a picture began to form inside my mind. What's happening? I shook my head, but I couldn't stop the images from appearing. It was the night that Mama had gone. I'd been swimming with the other children at the lake. I'd seen smoke rising from the direction of town, but the first thing that told me something was wrong was the taste. The smoke hadn't tasted right on my tongue, not like smoke from stove wood, but burning thatch, clay walls crumbling. Faster than the others, I'd run home, but still it felt like it took an eternity to get there. I could feel I was running towards something bad. I knew Granny Uma was looking after Caleb for the day. Mama had been so tired, she was all alone. I'd got to the path and Granny Uma had caught me in her arms, stopping me from running into the flames. I'd kicked out at her, wanting her to let me go, not caring if I hurt her. I didn't care about anyone then, not Granny Uma or Caleb, who she carried in her arms. Not a night goes by that I don't relive it all. I could give those dreams to Badako, let it take away the fear and the fire, the pain of missing Mama. It hurt too much to keep in my heart. Give it all to Badako. Caleb shuddered in my arms. It brought me back to the present. My small brother, he needed me. Please, I begged the creature, give him back to me. I whispered into Caleb's ear, you have to wake up. The creature laughed, a sound like dry leaves crunching underfoot. You didn't want him then. Why do you want him now? The thought was finally unlocked, the terrible secret that I had hidden away, that I'd tried to cover up. I hadn't wanted him, a sibling that would steal away Mama's attention and love, who meant that Mama would only have one arm to wrap around me instead of two. But afterwards, it was his small arms that hugged me tight. Caleb always seemed to know when I was missing Mama. I became aware of a song, with words I couldn't understand. The drumbeats tingled the hairs on my arms. I didn't know where it was coming from. The anger ebbed and I felt woozy. The light from the hollow got brighter and then dimmer, like time was stretching and shrinking. I was being pulled under the surface of sleep. Diving into the dark part of water, I could feel myself begin to go limp. "No," I gasped, my hold on Caleb loosening. I shook my head, but I couldn't clear it. The song was seeping from my pores. Everything slowed down. The air began to feel like water in my lungs. I reached up with a heavy arm and rattled the necklace, but no sound came out. The seeds were silent. "Amaya," it was my mama's voice. "Mama," I tried to call out, but my words were like syrup, sticking to the roof of my mouth and gluing my lips together. "Remember who you are," I heard her say. With careful fingers, I reached into my pocket and grasped a familiar shape. I ran my thumb over the indent of my name. Amaya, the name my mama had given me engraved into my tinderbox. I placed Caleb in the hollow of my lap, his head lolling against my knee, and brought the tinderbox out. I cracked it open and let the flint and steel fall into my palm, every moment agonizingly slow. Trying to hold the steel against the flint felt like walking through water, the pull of it holding me back. "Stop, or I'll set the hollow on fire," I gurgled at the creature, my tongue tripping over the words. But the creature crackled its dry laugh. I knew it wasn't afraid. "It doesn't think I'll do it." I struck the steel against the flint. It sparked. The song faltered, like a break in the rain. I focused on calming my shaking hands. I struck the steel again. Sparks popped and vanished into the air. The song grew to a roar. I was drowning in it. With all my might, I struck the steel against the flint a third time. Sparks showered down onto the dry leaves, and a puff of smoke appeared. Smoke turned into a flame and started to gobble up the dry nest in the hollow. The song stopped, but I was still frozen, trapped in the fiery nightmare. Flames grew higher. I heard screaming, Mama trapped inside the house. But this time it was me. I was the one trapped. "Mama!" I cried out. A small cough and I heard my name. "Maya!" I stared down into a face I knew so well. Black eyes studied my face, still confused by sleep. "Caleb!" I scooped him up and held him tight. He wrapped his arms around my neck. His quick heartbeat next to mine felt unreal. "Maya!" he said again. Shaking the last threads of the song out of my head, I searched around for the Dream Eater. Where was Badeko? Smoke filled the space around us. I wrapped my headscarf loosely around Caleb's mouth so he could breathe. He started to cry, the scarf muffling his howls. He pushed his face against my neck and I felt warm, sticky ears. I inched away from the flames, trying not to inhale the smoke. The heat licked the back of my sweat-drenched tunic. Caleb screamed in panic and clung so tightly to my neck that I struggled to breathe. The smoke started to sting my tongue. "The hollow," I leaned out, holding Caleb tightly. "Granny Uma!" I shouted down, tears streaming down my face from the smoke. "Amaya!" I heard her shout back. I saw her through the haze, her arms reaching up towards us. I dangled my legs down, but I couldn't find a foothold. "I can't," I coughed. The tree was too smooth. An ear-splitting crackle of fire drowned out her reply. Caleb clung to my neck. He whimpered in my ear. I slung him around to face me, but he was stuck fast by fear. "You have to let go," I told him. "Granny Uma will catch you." Caleb shook his head fiercely. He clung on tighter. Against all my instincts, I tried to pry his small hands away from my neck. Although he resisted, I was stronger than him. I loosened his hands as he shrieked for me to stop, his face tight with terror. "It's okay, I promise," I cried. "Granny Uma!" I roared to the ground. With relief, I saw a glimpse of two hands through the smoke. It was Mally, standing on Granny Uma's shoulders. I shuffled back and lay on my stomach, my legs reaching back into the hollow. Heat stung my bare feet, but I didn't rush. Caleb was quiet now, and he seemed so small. I held him under his arms, and he clasped hold of my wrists. I kissed him on the forehead. He whimpered. "Be brave, small brother." He was heavier than he looked, and my arms shook as I lowered him out of the hollow towards Mally's reaching hands. Caleb swung below, looking up at me. Then I felt Mally grab hold of his waist, and the weight of him was passed to her. I let go. He disappeared into the cloud of smoke. For a moment, everything was still, a bubble of silence, between relief and fear. Then I breathed in thick, choking smoke, and I jumped into a crouch. I peered over my shoulder. The inside of the tree was alight. Fire roared up from the throat of the hollow, chasing the smoke out. Pressure of the heat was like a pushing hand. I clambered over the lip and shouted down, "I'm going to jump!" I knew I was too high, but I had no choice. It was a break a leg or two, or get roasted in the belly of the tree. Just before I let go, I stared back into the hollow. Then I saw it. Badako writhed and twisted in the flames. A hissing escaped, like wet bark catching a light. I saw a net that shimmered in the light of the fire before it vanished. The Dream Eater crumbled into ash. I swung my legs over the hollow's edge and let go.